In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. I'm just going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke. I have an acquaintance, I guess, a guy I'd worked with, a church consultant that I'd worked with a number of years ago, a guy from Toronto, but he grew up in the Midwestern states. And when he was a young man, he was very devout, young Methodist guy, and he worked at their church's would have been their Bible camp, I think. And so it was adjacent, if I remember the story correctly, it was adjacent to just a regular public camp where people could pitch their tents, you know, that kind of thing. And but every Sunday morning, his job was to, they rang the church bell in the camp, in their, on their side of it, for chapel service on Sunday morning, early in the morning, quite early in the morning. And his job was to go around to the public campground and invite people to come to this church service. So again, he was a young guy. He's walking around the tents and or whatever campers, invited people to come. And he stands and he related that he was standing in front of one tent early in the morning going, "Yoo-hoo, come to church." You know, like it's early, right? And he said, at that point emerged the largest human being he'd ever seen in his life, who was clearly a member of a bike gang, not the Christian kind, you know, Christian bike, not one of those Christian biker gangs, like, a, you know, one of those other kind of bike gangs. He emerged at him, expressed himself with a hearty belch, and clearly a little bit hungover, and in colorful language asked him what he may be doing there at this time of the morning. So that was a bad start to their relationship right there, which did develop as time went along. But my friend at that point, I think, felt maybe he was a little out of place. The word place is very important. In this reading from the Gospel of Luke that we heard today, the word, literally the word place is important. It says that Jesus is brought to the place of the skull, which is a kind of, I guess you might say, a kind of hell in which as you heard the one of the criminals say, and it's not like these are, you know, revolutionaries like in the Monty Python movie or something. The word that's used to describe them is they are evildoers, they're criminals. And as one of them says to the other, we are here justly condemned in this place, the place of the skull, the place of death. The other place that this word is used is one of the criminals said to the other criminal, he says, you heard him say this, that this man has done nothing wrong. Literally in the Greek language, it says he has done nothing out of place. So he is brought to the place of the skull, and this man says he has done nothing out of place. But the fact is that Jesus in this scene is very much out of place. This is a place, again, a kind of hell. Sometimes people ask me, I wish they wouldn't ask me this because it's so hard to even think about what hell is like. And so I'm studying this passage, I think, oh, this would be like Dante. If you ever read Dante, this is kind of like Dante's version of hell, in which you can see those who are justly condemned, like these criminals, but you can also see the religious leaders who are blaspheming against God. They believe they're righteous, but they're caught up in hatred and blasphemy, which is also a kind of scene of hell. Both kinds, those who are evil-hearted and don't know it, and those who are evil-hearted and are suffering the consequences of it. So Jesus, who is God himself in the flesh, the truly innocent one, is here in exactly the wrong place. He is here in the place where he does not belong. Why does this thief, in the midst of this hellscape, why does this one criminal turn to Jesus and ask him, because he knows quite clear he deserves what he's getting, Why does he turn to Jesus? And how could he? Why would he have the presumption turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, remember me. You're the truly innocent one. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the reason is that in this unforgiving place, Jesus has said one simple sentence. You probably can think about it, what it was when you just heard this. And that is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This applies equally to the religious leaders and also to the criminals as well. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Therefore, this man has the courage or the faith or whatever it is, leap into the void to turn to Jesus and say, remember me, Jesus. And just very simply, no title, just the word Jesus, remember. It's a Taizé song, isn't it, that we sing sometimes? Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. So God has taken upon himself, this is what Luke is saying, God has taken on himself the hell to which it may be said we may properly belong. He's taken upon himself our hell. He's taken upon himself the hell of those who know they're bad. They've done bad things. They've ruined their lives and ruined lives of other people. He's also taken upon themselves the hell of those who believe they're righteous, but their hearts are dark. As someone said, and come there simply to offer forgiveness, reconciliation. He's gone outside of his proper place, which is at the right hand of God, into this hellscape, the wrong place to simply say, I forgive you. I want to be reconciled with you. As someone said, it is an inconceivable miracle, which is our reconciliation. So back to this conversation. My acquaintance, after being rather startled by the appearance of this very large man and probably having the desire to run, as all devout young Methodists, speaking as having once been a devout young Methodist, would like to do in a situation like that, sat down and talked to him. They sat down and talked to each other. And as they talked, after they got over the swearing part, sat down and talked. And this man said, start talking to him about his life, how difficult it was. Maybe been romanticized by Marlon Brando and the Wild Bunch, but not a romantic lifestyle. Being in a bike gang, full of violence, hard to leave. And he just shared for him how hard it was for him, how painful it was for him, how hard it was for his family, which he had, and how, again, difficult it was, it would be to leave. So when it comes down to it, that is what we are here to do. I think if we listen to Luke, we are here to put ourselves in the wrong place. As Christians, we're here to put ourselves in the wrong place. We are, because week by week, we have fully experienced that God has put himself in the wrong place for us. That he's come into our life with all of its good things, its suffering, its difficulty, and yes, its sin. And he has placed himself in the midst of it in order to take all of that onto himself. The great exchange, it's called. He gets all the suffering, and we get the joy that he gives to us. So out of that, we can place ourselves in the wrong place in the lives of other people, with that knowledge. So stewardship just gives us, which we're talking about today, stewardship just gives us the means to do that, to do those two things. This is the parish, the means to do those two things. That is to week by week, place ourselves, be placed in the presence of the one who has placed himself in our place, and then to go out and place ourselves in the place of other people. So today, let our light shine. That's our theme. Let your light shine, the light that offers forgiveness, the light that makes us right. The flickering candle that we have received that we can pass on to other people. Candle, which is a gift to us. As one person famously put it, and I remember this again and again, ministry is one beggar telling another where food is to be found. It's not about how righteous I am, you are, we are. It's one beggar telling another where food is to be found. In this case, it's one beggar telling another where light is to be found. So let us pass our light on. Amen.